It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Hour two begins, and if you're new to the show because, for whatever reason, you decided Twitter is the only way you're going to listen to radio, not sure that qualifies for a lot of people, but we do have a Twitter feed now. If you just go to ESPN 975 on Twitter, you see our kind of our profile pic at the top. It's going to be lit up in pink. You can click on that. You can watch us live there. And I believe all our audio issues are fixed now, so that's great. If you're just finding out about this show, yes. If you call in about TV, we'll talk about it. If you call in about really anything, we'll talk about it. What I have noticed, Sean, is that there's been a decline in conversation, at least decline in questions about certain established Hollywood actresses and their future in OnlyFans. That has gone the way – that's gone away, actually.
Yeah. Been a while.
It's been a while from fake Ryan, who's actually real Ryan, pretending to be someone else. So that's kind of this show. We call it the Haven of Nonsense when our callers get into that.
Speaking of Haven of Nonsense, real quick, this Italian
gymnast.
Yeah, I forgot what this event is actually called. What he's actually doing. Has a lot of tattoos.
I'm looking at him right now.
And one of them is of just Venom's head, the superhero, or I guess supervillain.
Anti-hero, Venom. Whatever he might be, depending on the movie.
The Tom Hardy vehicle, Venom.
Yes. The vault?
Yeah, see, right there. Yeah, the vault. It's like on his right kind of front part of his shoulder.
Yeah, he is tatted up. And I don't know how good of a gymnast he is compared to the rest of the world. Obviously, he's a great gymnast. He's in the Olympics.
Yes, compared to the rest of the world, he's one of the best.
Yeah, but I don't know, compared to the Olympians he's going against.
Paul Judah from USA.
Yeah. I don't know how great he is. Is he a potential medal threat? But tattooed up, and he just, I guess, did a great vault, did an average vault. I don't know. I can't hear. But Paul, as you mentioned, Paul Judah is next up as the team finals going on for the U.S. right now. And they're currently sitting, what is that, fifth? I can't see from
fourth.
Here. Fourth. They're sitting fourth right now, behind Italy, Great Britain, Japan, and then the U.S. and Paul Gila trying to change things from Deerfield, Illinois.
Rally starts now.
Go, Judah, go, Judah, go. But before we focus completely on the U.S. trying to win a gold in men's gymnastics, something they haven't done in, I don't know if forever is the right term, but it's been a long time. We will get to this. DeMeco Ryans. He spoke over the weekend and he talked about the O-line. Well, at least he was asked about it. Let's see if he actually answers the question. There is a bit of a debate. He was asked about the competition between the OL and the DL. I think the side people are higher on right now because of Danielle Hunter is the defensive line. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson. Shout out to Foley Fadakasi for nearly injuring CJ Stroud. But DeNico Autry has been an addition as well. A lot of additions on the O-line. I mean, the D-line. The O-line, you're hoping for health. Beyond Blake Fisher, it's the same cast of characters for the most part. You're just hoping those guys stay healthy so your interior can form a cohesive unit. And with Titus Howard moving back to the right side of the and being a tackle, you hope that coalesces so you have a strong five. Here's DeMeco on the back and forth between the OL and the DL.
It's no battle. It's just guys. It's we work together, and that's one of the groups that a lot of people, you know, you don't realize and you don't understand. Like when we're in this practice setting, like there has to be some give and take amongst the D line and O line, and no group more important than those guys of trying to stay up, trying to protect the quarterback. So it's a fine line with the O and D line of competing and going. So they've done a great job of working with each other all camp and. you know, we'll get a great evaluation of those guys in the four preseason games.
So he didn't answer whether there's a winner or a loser. Because they're all Texans, right?
You didn't hear that?
No, it's give and take.
No, the D-line's whooping them.
I didn't hear. It's a give and take. It's a give and take, Sean.
Give and take.
And
the Texans are winning.
That's right. It's much like if your favorite college team is playing their spring game. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what happened.
The quarterback's good, not the defensive backs are bad.
Yes. Or sticky coverage, not your receivers can't get separation. These are the things you have to balance. And in this case, it's a give and take between the O-line and the D-line. So great. That's great. I don't know who's winning. I would have to go out to practice. Maybe Paul knows. Paul goes out to practice. Maybe Paul can answer the question. I believe it's from actually his feed, that question. You can follow Paul Gallant. What is it? Gallant says? Gallant says, if you follow at Gallant says, Paul's are always offering up videos from camp. He'll give his analysis. He'll also have audio after practice from whether it be a player or a coach. Paul's a good follow if you like the Texans. He provides you with a lot of content.
I will say Paul's done this recent thing. I saw a tweet today where he has at least one at training camp video of a player and then the most engagement farming caption possible. There's one today, if you go to Akalon Says, you'll see it, where it's two videos, one of Nico Collins catching. It might be a route on air that he's running and catching a touchdown. And then Tank Dell also doing it. And then he goes, who do you think's going to have more fantasy points this season? Tank Dell or Nico Collins?
Have some shame.
It's funny coming from Paul, who could not care less about who has more fantasy points.
Oh, look, Paul, the people who know what you're doing. The naive people out there. Oh, he's asking a legitimate question. We know what you're doing, Paul, particularly Sean. Sean revealed.
Paul Kliveman.
Paul Branham.
Dov Gallant.
Paul Branham.
Whoa.
What? Am I wrong?
He doesn't do the who has more fantasy points, throwing an emoji for a football.
Oh, I didn't know there was an emoji.
It looks like a what MLA football or whatever.
Oh,
NBA CL.
Not even the scrupulous engagement farmers, the less than scrupulous ones. Okay.
It's shameless.
Paul, that's your guy calling you shameless. In this very time slot, you guys worked together for months upon months. So I can't say he's wrong because he would know better.
Year. It was actually years.
But I wasn't sure. I just said months to be safe.
It was a lot of months.
Yeah. 24 even.
It was over 12.
Yeah. LaSalle responded to the call out. You don't have to force this, by the way. I know I said you haven't asked about an OnlyFans actress in a while. You don't have to force it if you don't have a real one on mine, but apparently you do. So LaSalle, I mentioned him earlier. Before we go to break, let's get to him. He wants to ask, I assume, about a topic he has kind of, you know, tossed aside recently. What's up, LaSalle?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hashtag pay the man, hashtag the people for Raheezy. This is the artist formerly known as Fake Ryan and Ryan, Mr. LaSalsa. What are the odds that you think Olivia Munn will do stuff on the internet? Let's go.
More recent vintage than Amy Smart, certainly.
I like the let's go.
Let's go. What are you, like Tom Brady?
Like he's cheering.
You sound
on.
Like Tom Brady coming out of the tunnel.
Let's go.
Yeah, I would say unlikely. Not that this precludes anyone from being on OnlyFans. Recent mother with John Mulaney now, broke up a marriage allegedly. You may think that makes her more likely.
I think John Mulaney broke up his marriage.
That's true.
To be fair.
That's me being misogynistic. That's right. Down with the patriarchy. That's Mulaney's problem, not Olivia Munn's problem.
I watched his stand-up. I think it was his problem.
Oh, yeah, it's clear. But generally, and I fell into the trap. Shouldn't have done that. You're right. She wasn't in the marriage. John Mulaney was in the marriage. You're the one who made a mistake.
John Mulaney was the one doing cocaine at all hours of the day.
And that's,
I think that's worse.
And that's not our normal slander that we just throw on people. The guy admitted to it. Yeah.
No, he
openly admitted to it. So you're right. I appreciate the correction. Mulaney is a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no. The OnlyFans thing is unlikely. Now, 10 years from now, I don't know, but I'm going to put it as, I always have to put a percentage. I'm going to put it at 0.0, 25%. Very unlikely. But you never know. Never rule it out. But that one feels like you missed the boat. Maybe when she was still doing the video game stuff.
There's a little bit of like, I don't have to go back.
Yeah. At a time, maybe when she was not an Hollywood actress, she was transitioning from video game commentator or whatever that channel was called. I forgot what it was called. She might have been susceptible to the OnlyFans lore, but it wasn't even a thing back then. You missed your window, Ryan, or La Salsa.
By the way, there's Tomball, Texas in the house at the Olympics.
I see we're number one right now.
Asher Hong.
Or now we've been dropped at number two. But the U.S. is making a climb. Tomball, Texas, home of Jimmy Butler, although he doesn't acknowledge Houston, but Tomball, Texas, well, Asher Hong.
Neither does Asher Hong. He's claiming
If he's from Tomball, he's from Tomball. Now, no one outside of Texas or even maybe this general area knows where Tomball is. We just tell people, oh, that's near Houston. Don't worry about it, everybody. I respect it. Like, I'm from Long Beach, California. I'm not going to say I'm from L.A. I was born in Daytona Beach. I'm not going to say I was born in Orlando. Where were you born? Were you born in Houston City proper?
Yes.
All right, then. There it is. I live in League City. I don't live in Houston.
I live in Houston.
Rep your set, Sean.
Houston.
I know. Rep your set.
I am. Every day.
Clearly.
North side.
There it is.
Me and Slim Thug.
Yes. When I think of Slim Thug, I think of you. And vice versa. All right. We played the D'Amico stuff. We'll get to Tommy Towns. We'll just play him coming back. The man knows what it is to be a champion. He tells us what's the difference between the Chiefs and others. And now that he's a Texan, we hope some of that follows. Maybe we're talking about Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon and others. Maybe Tommy Townsend will bring that championship medal to the Texans. We'll hear from him. And we'll also get into, we heard from La Salsa talking about pay the man. Well, a couple quarterbacks got paid since last time we spoke. We'll get into that as well when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I think one of the biggest things I noticed, from my time in Kansas City is like when things really get tough or, you know, we get into tight situations, big games, late in the game, trying to come back and win, nobody on the sideline freaks out. Like everyone is very calm. Everyone knows what they need to do. And it's just, everybody knows what they have to do. Everybody knows their job and everybody just wants to go out and execute. You know, nobody is, you know, wide-eyed or freaking out or making the moment too big. And I think that's been one of the, you know, coolest things to watch in Kansas City was just how, all the players treat those big moments.
That was Tommy Townsend, new Texans punter, over the weekend discussing what the Chiefs had that made them great. Well, that is what the Texans have, and a lot of that starts with their quarterback. You can be very calm and understand the moment when you have Patrick Mahomes, and C.J. Stroud showed some of that last year, too. He had big moments and big comebacks. So as much as Tommy Townsend had the right approach and talked about the team, if your quarterback's a nervous wreck, it don't matter how calm everyone else is. Because generally, comebacks are about what your quarterback is capable of. And they have the best, the Chiefs do. He played with the best. Now, he's playing now with someone who a lot of people consider, maybe the best young quarterback that's younger than Patrick Mahomes. Because Mahomes is still young.
Best quarterback born after Batman and Robin.
Yes, that's the line of demarcation we figured out. Well, at least you did Friday. So the hope is, I can't say that CJ is going to be the next Mahomes while Mahomes is actually playing. But a reasonable facsimile. Yeah, where he is a guy who, no matter what the situation is, we expect to come through.
And now they have the winning mentality from Tommy Townsend.
Like how much
bringing that Chiefs DNA.
I was joking about it, but how much actual say did Tommy Townsend have? Like if you're on the field punting, then it wasn't going great. I don't remember the great coffin corner punt that sealed a game for the Chiefs. from Tommy Townsend.
Yeah. Well, because you have all the glory hounds with Mahomes and Kelsey.
Oh, Mahomes and Kelsey and Hill. Whatever.
Yeah. A lot of look-a-me guys, you know, on that offense.
Well, that's very true. Patrick Mahomes.
Tommy Townsend, humble. Was like, you know, it was a team effort.
It was a team.
It wasn't just me.
It wasn't any of you. That's why you say it's a team effort. I'm sure he had a big couple punts or two.
Yeah. Hey, when Mahomes didn't do his job, Tommy Townsend pinned him back.
Chris Jones got a sack or something.
Yeah, so the defense was in good field position, could get another stop. Now Mahomes, here you go. Here's a second chance. Don't blow this one.
look at the team picking you up. Let's get it done this time, Patrick.
I mean, this year their offense wasn't amazing.
That's true. We all forget because of how great they were when it mattered most. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, he had an interesting last couple of days because of the Raiders. If you missed it, the Raiders, a couple of their defensive players had a Kermit the Frog puppet with the Chiefs jersey on, and I think they even gave it like a Patrick Mahomes type wig. And, you know, they put on a voice, and I guess Patrick Mahomes, when he's talking, when he trash talks, says, "I'm here. I'm here." So you're going to hear some of that in this clip, and then you're going to hear something that probably went a step too far if you're the Chiefs and if you're Antonio Pierce, who, when asked about this particular, let's say, extracurricular stuff, said, "We're going to nip that in the bud right now." But this was from, at this point, some random Raiders DBs talking about the best quarterback in the game today. And they threw in a word that they probably shouldn't have.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
If you missed it in the background, that was a player calling Patrick Mahomes a bitch. And that's where you get this reaction from. Now, the Raiders, under Antonio Pierce, did beat the Chiefs in their only matchup last year. Josh McDaniels fired. Antonio Pierce takes over. The Raiders play with a different type of mentality. It's part of the reason he got the job. But even Antonio Pierce is like, okay, we're not calling Patrick Mahomes a bitch. We're not going to do the Kermit the Frog puppet anymore. And we're just going to be about Raiders football. They asked Andy Reid, they asked Patrick Mahomes about it, and they kind of brushed it off. Patrick Mahomes did say, "This will get handled when it needs to get handled," which just says, hey, if I go for 400 yards against them, you know what it's about. I don't know if he will. That receiver core is either young, suspended potentially, or not good. And we know Travis Kelce is going to take the regular season off. He's got to build up to the postseason if we're following what he did last year.
Yeah, you got to travel with his girlfriend on tour.
Well, he doesn't have to.
Well,
he could. Is she still going to be in tour? She's been on a tour. I get pop superstar. You do the American tour. You do the world tour, which he's on now. At some point, she's got to take.
Just make another album.
A football season off.
No,
you don't have to make
another album. Another tour. It's life. It's tough
for her. Look, if Travis Kelce wants to go on tour again, you want to be in Brazil to see your girl during the off week? Understood. It's a great life to have. But for Taylor Swift's sake, take some time off. Get the world tour in. She's still on it right now.
Got to make that money.
But by the time football season starts, I don't want you on tour. I want to see you in NFL buildings for all the dialogue to happen again.
Oh, okay. You want the dialogue.
I want people to repeat the same takes they had last year about how she's ruining the Chiefs. How Travis Kelce's not the same anymore until he does what he did in the playoffs, and then people have to shut up and stop being stupid about things.
Yeah. I will say, for the Raiders, with the Kermit thing, that's a little bit of an issue of, like, these guys are online, and I think it's okay for fans of other teams.
Definitely. But what are you doing?
But when you're the actual player...
Why do you have a puppet?
When you're an actual player making the joke, it's like, hey, guys, you know, like, he's who you're going to take it out on. Like, this is way more likely to lead in bad times for the Raiders.
Yeah, the fans doing it. Patrick Mahomes has no get back other than making them miserable on a Sunday, I guess, because he's beating their favorite team.
He does that anyway.
Yeah, he was planning on doing that anyway. You and the Chiefs might be like, you know what? We're going to bring out our A-plus game plan against you guys. Just because. I recognize your face from the and your number from this video. I'm going to target you. play after play after play, and every time we make a play, I'm going to come up to you and go, I'm him, and then maybe call you a bitch.
I thought you were going to do the voice.
Nah, I don't want him.
No one disrespect.
I don't want him thinking, oh, aren't you a Dolphin fan? I don't need any of that. I don't want him hearing this and going, I know who you root for.
Writing it down.
Let me take it out on Kendall Fuller, yeah. Who's your new corner.
Week 11, huh?
Yeah, look at that. I don't know if they play. I don't think they play each other this year. They did that last year. So, Raiders, don't let the internet take over real life. That's for a Raider Nation to take their shots. He owns you. Like he owns the entire league at this point. Maybe just get a couple stops and hope Aiden O'Connell has enough.
Maybe get, some turnover luck.
Like last year, where I think they had a couple.
They beat them Christmas.
In Kansas City. Was it two pick sixes? I think it was at least two picks on back-to-back possessions. Maybe one of them was a pick six. So take advantage of that. Hope and pray. But don't challenge Patrick Mahomes in that way. Don't insult him. You're asking for it. As long as his receivers come to play that day. I did want to get to a couple of other quarterbacks who got big deals. Patrick Mahomes was asked about the new deals. Says he doesn't feel underpaid. That was the initial response from a lot of people. If these guys are getting money, how much is Patrick Mahomes worth? Well, the man in question feels just fine. The two guys who got their money that elicited those questions were Tua and Jordan Love. They both got deals. I think Tua got his on Friday. I think maybe they both got him on Friday. Tua first and then Jordan Love a little bit later in the day. Tua gets a deal where the annual average is about $53 million. I think Jordan Love's 55 or so. And according to the initial reports, Tua gets more guaranteed money. So after what seemed like maybe not debate, but there were questions from people about whether the Dolphins should do it, whether they would do it. Certainly Mike Florio was positioning it as Tua was never going to get a deal in the 50s. Stephen Ross wouldn't do it. Now, if you include his deal this year, it comes out to be under 47 because he's playing on the fifth-year option. But the new money is an annual average salary of 55 or 53. So big deal for the Dolphins quarterback, big deal for Jordan Love. It's been a lot of big deals for quarterbacks, and it'll continue, which leads me to the C.J. Stroud question. With Tua, it's at least anyone who has questions about giving him that money, can he last as far as health? Is he good enough to take the Dolphins where that money will suggest he should be capable of taking them? Namely, winning playoff games and Super Bowls. That's what he talked about in his presser. I'm now the highest paid person in the organization. My job is to be better, win titles. That's what I'm supposed to do. Sean, it's years from now. Who knows where we'll be? But if C.J. Stroud has not won a Super Bowl, because that always seems like the line of demarcation. Either you win a Super Bowl or you don't. Maybe we'll give you some bail if you make a Super Bowl and don't win, like Joe Burrow got. But if you do not win, will there be questions considering the cap rise and how much CJ will be worth? Will there be questions if he doesn't win a Super Bowl about giving CJ this money when, you have to pay everybody else? Maybe you've missed your window. Is any quarterback beyond Patrick Mahomes immune to that going forward? Where you have to give it to him. I know you haven't won anything, but we have to give it to him. And you should give it to him. A lot of it was you have to give Tua's money. You have to give Jordan Love his money. Will people be like, yeah, give CJ 65 per year, whatever the number is, if he has not won a Super Bowl?
I think so, because there is still that Josh Allen kind of level quarterback It's like, hey, we know you're really good and you come up short against one team.
Well, Josh Allen, the Bengals too.
Oh, really?
They lost in the playoffs to the Bengals as well.
I in my head, it's just they lose to the Chiefs.
Did you not hear Nick Wright rip? Of course you didn't. You didn't have to. But Nick Wright used that as, hey, stop saying he just lost to the Bills. He lost to the Bengals at home. It's that picture of Stephon Diggs looking at him with his arms out, being all pissed off. That was when people started to question that relationship because they lost that home game to the Bengals.
That's right.
In the snow, year, I think. Yeah. 2 seasons ago now?
Yeah. Or, yeah, not last year. The year before. Okay. You know what? Got to check out more Nick Wright stuff. To get it right, get the Bills slander right.
Of course.
But yeah, I think so. One thing with CJ Stroud is that there will probably be some sticker shock with just how much the deal is worth. If you think about who in the drafts ahead of him is getting paid, which is nobody, because it's not going to be Kenny Pickett in the 2022 draft. It's not going to be anyone in that 2022, or no, none of the quarterbacks in that 2022 draft. Lawrence is the only guy in the 21 draft that's going to get paid. So we will go some time with basically between now and when his deal comes up where no other young quarterback is really going to get a deal. Maybe, you know, Dak's going to get a deal. Purdy probably will get a deal.
Yeah, maybe they redo Mahomes before then.
But there won't be a how Love and Tua are where it's like you're next up because you're right on schedule with 2020. Now it's time for you to get paid.
Yeah.
Because they're both drafted the same year. Now there's going to be a little while between there's another guy coming off a rookie deal who's going to get paid.
Sure.
Again, other than Purdy. But Purdy's like kind of his own little – he's in his own little corner of the NFL.
And the San Francisco, we're not really sure, but they're pretty good. So what does he get?
And he's making so little to jumping up so much that's probably
going
to be
– Would that be the biggest
– Increase, yes.
Increase?
Ever.
Yes.
The biggest increase ever probably before that was Jordan Love.
Yes. Like, the man went from Mr. Irrelevant, right, last pick in the draft, to making $50-something million if the 49ers pay him what next up means.
He's going to get $50 million on his next deal.
Yeah.
Either from the Niners or...
I don't know about someone else.
Or he's going to Kirk Cousins it.
You think he would get 50-plus from someone else?
Yeah. Kirk Cousins always get that's the thing. Understood. If you become an actual free agent, you get paid.
I get it.
It happens rarely.
But Brock Purdy somehow has actually kind of avoided the whole, you're playing this like what Tua got. You're playing that system. What were you before? You were middling at best quarterback. Now we'll give – that's a Tyreek thing. That's a Mike McDaniel thing. You think Brock Purdy is going to avoid that because maybe he doesn't have the previous years of being just average – he didn't have the, we've seen you without these guys.
Okay. I mean, I think that definitely helps the perception.
Okay.
Is that there's literally no, like, 2022 or 2021 Tua tape out there where it's just like, ugh. Now, it's only good Purdy tape.
Yeah, that will be my line. That will be the test case. Brock Purdy, beyond being the last pick in the draft, he was in that 49er offense.
Yeah.
They've accomplished the same things they've done under Jimmy Garoppolo. People... mistakenly so probably was like, that's just another Jimmy. And then they start to see maybe some of the extra stuff he did and go, okay, he's probably better than Jimmy. And the 49ers did not choose him as their initial upgrade over Jimmy. That was Trey Lance until we know what happened there. So Brock Purdy, is he more valuable to the 49ers than anywhere else? I think so.
Yes, that's true. But if he becomes a free agent, there would be a team that's like, hey, our choice is to start Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell or pay this guy. It's what the Falcons did. Some team's going to be like, hey, we have a good receiver and running back and maybe another good receiver. We can 49ers it up. Like, we can do that. I just think all these guys, if they're quarterbacks and they become free agents, they're going to get paid.
I think I've asked this before. The systems are similar. They're not the same. McDaniel, Shanahan, Slowick, they do different things with their systems. The two guys older, in some ways, the oldest one caught the most slander. Purdy gets his too. CJ seems immune right now. I think CJ will be the one in this system who no one believes is benefiting greatly from the system. They'll just say he is enhancing what's going on, not being someone who's simply a like a driver of it, but not the the other ones have already caught it. No matter what the numbers say, no matter how good the offenses are, and the other part is the weapons were unknown before CJ got there.
That helps.
He doesn't now. Nico Collins might have been great with a pretty good quarterback in the system. He never played in it before. Tank Dell's a rookie. We don't know what he would have been without CJ in the system. Just a benefit of perception.
Yeah,
I think CJ will avoid any of the whole system stuff. Right or wrong?
Yeah, because he didn't play with Brian Flores and Chan Gailey.
Or George Godsey as the OC.
There's no Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton tape out there. It's only the good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, again, what Tua catches a lot of is we saw him in like a more normal circumstance.
Well, he's throwing at Matt Collins. I'm not sure how normal.
Normal. Normal.
He was throwing a former Navy quarterback, Malcolm Perry, at times.
A great athlete, and also, thank you for your service.
And also, yeah, thank him for that. He was also like 5'8 and shouldn't have been playing wide receiver. We got a couple more segments to go here. Oh, I did want to mention this. I forgot to talk about it. Let's get to it before we go to break. We are partnering with Houston Restaurants Week in 2024, and it's time to raise money for the Houston Food Bank for you. It's simple. You just dine out. You do some good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds go to the Houston Food Bank. Plus, you're supporting local restaurants. It starts August 1st and runs through September 2nd. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. When we come back, we're going to talk about cheating in the Olympics and why a certain athlete thinks you're wrong about it. We're used to it here. We're used to being associated with cheating, or at least being accused of it. The Canadian national team, and I'll give you a story, the soccer team, it's pretty evident they're cheating, despite the claims of one of their players. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
Welcome back. We'll try to keep this quick. I've been screwing up the break, so we'll try to get out of here on time. I mentioned this before we went to break. The Canadian national team, when it comes to their soccer teams, and particularly the women, because they're in the Olympics and they're being punished for past mistakes. If you don't know the story, the former women's coach eventually became the men's coach, and the men had their greatest success ever. They made a World Cup under him. They even won the CONCACAF group to qualify for the World Cup. So a lot of success. But they, at this point, are confirmed cheaters. They use drones to film the walkthrough, or the walkthrough in soccer is the practice leading up to the game. The day before the game, generally that is a time where you will see who's starting for the opponent. You'll see some of their set piece stuff. Any way they want to play, whether they want a high press, you'll see some of that stuff in the lead up towards the game, particularly in international matches, because they have a short amount of time with the players, so they try to cram a lot of stuff in, and the day before is kind of where some of the big stuff happens as far as strategy. So allegedly, it may be confirmed now, even the U.S. Federation, at least sources say, hey, we kind of knew what they were doing. We didn't make a big deal out of it, but we were aware, and this was happening with the women first, and then the men. Now, that guy is no longer the manager of either of those teams, so he didn't catch the AJ Hinch fate where he had to get fired because of his actions. He was gone. But it led to the Olympic Committee, or whatever the actual federation is, as far as when it comes to the soccer stuff. They dropped Canada 6 points. So you can only score 9 in the group stage. They've won both their matches, but because of the penalty in question, they have 0. Now, if they win their last match, they're going to qualify because they're beating the crap out of everyone. So everyone else only has 3. And now if they can beat Colombia, they will make it through to the quarterfinals in the Olympic tournament for women's soccer. The U.S. have already done that. They've won their first 2 convincingly. So the U.S. women bouncing back from their World Cup performance, where they were kind of a team who didn't have a direction on offense. New coaches matter sometimes. So this is Vanessa Giles. She is a Canadian soccer player. She's a gold medalist. The previous women in the 2020 Olympics won the gold medal. And obviously, when you're known to be cheating, that's called into question. You know about that. Here's Vanessa Giles talking about the emotions of having that hanging over your head while trying to compete.
Heck, we have nothing to lose. We haven't slept in the last 3 days. We haven't eaten. We've been crying. Like, I wouldn't say they're ideal performing situations, but we've held each other through it. And we've had absolutely nothing to lose. So what's given us energy is each other. Is our determination, is our pride to prove people wrong, our pride to represent this country when all this is coming out about our values, about our representation as Canadians. It's not us. Like I've said, time and time again, I've defended ourselves. We're not cheaters. We're damn good players. We're a damn good team. We're a damn good group, and we proved that today.
Thank you very much. Congrats.
I believe they beat France. So, as I said, they're one game away from getting into the quarterfinal. Yeah, she's got some College Career energy. A little bit. She wasn't as... Now, this happened immediately after. She wasn't in the mode of Bregman and Altuve, where they're like, we just want to move on. She was like, nah.
No. We're not. She was like, give me Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah. You want some, Ken? Hey, this John Hayden. Hey, John. Hey, Passan. You want some, too? It's not. This is Canada, is actually what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
If you don't know the facts.
Yeah, we know. We know. We're not cheaters. Yes, you are. Yeah, you are. I'm not saying you specifically, but your team is. And this was going on both sides, as I said. The connection is the manager in question, John Herdman. He coached the women to a gold medal. Actually, he coached the women from 2011 to 2018, and then he coached the men from 18 to 23. So he wasn't involved in the gold medal matches in that tournament in 2020. But some of the coaches beyond him were either fired. So Canada's playing without their coach and a couple staffers. And as I mentioned, they were penalized 6 points. So I love a little controversy. And Canada, now we know you're not as good as you think you are. You're cheaters. You haven't overtaken us as the best club or best nation in CONCACAF. You cheated your way to it. Accept it.
And USA.
That's right.
USA.
We do it the right way.
We should cheat.
I mean, we've been pretty good without the cheating. I mean, the Olympics.
Imagine how much better it would be if we cheated. The men's team.
You're talking about the men. The women have been just fine. They weren't great in the last World Cup, so cheating could have helped then. They could have flown a drone over. I think, what did they lose to? The Netherlands in the second round? Whoever it might have been, maybe Sweden. I don't remember exactly. Maybe they could have done that. But the men, yeah, they need all the help they can get. I'm going to start with, before we get to cheating, which I'm not opposed to, particularly with the World Cup coming up here, I'd rather have post-World Cup embarrassment about the cheating than losing in the group stage and being out of the tournament.
Yeah.
By the way, hire manager. We're still waiting on that, by the way. The U.S. women hired Emma Hayes. Things are going great. Now, it's only the group stage. They got one more game. Then they have the quarterfinal that they've already qualified for. So we're not sure what will happen, but they seem to be playing a better brand of soccer. I need that from my U.S. men. And then resort to the cheating as a last step. If you need a little bit to get over the top, you want to fly a drone over maybe your second round match against whoever it might be to finally get back to a quarterfinal, I'm with it. I mean, if it's Slovenia in the second round, fly that drone. Just don't get caught.
That's the problem.
How about you brand the drone with the Canada flag? So everyone just believes, hey, Canada's at it again.
There we go.
It ain't a U.S. drone. It says Canada right on it. Property of Canada right on the drone.
Now, you'll see, officer.
Yes. You might think it doesn't make much sense because Canada is actually playing matches in their own country as they're one of the hosts. But you never know who could be in the final. So that's Canada. They're flying over Slovenia's practices. It even says property of Canada. In fact, the drone plays Oh Canada. as it flies over the practice pitch.
If lost, please return to Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, what? See? It's not us. It's those guys. They have a history.
At 420 Maple Avenue.
Interesting. So he's a weed guy, too.
That's what that leaf is.
Yeah. Canada. I respect the cheating. You're trying to get a leg up. And you disavow everyone who was involved. And if the biggest punishment for you is deducted 6 points and you still find a way to get to the quarterfinal, no harm done, right? Except for all the embarrassment. And I imagine John Herdman won't be managing anyone anytime soon. So cheating in the Olympics, imagine that. And you know, the Canadian authorities, as far as their soccer federation, was like, hey, you know what? The cheating had nothing to do with the Copa America. I know we made a semifinal, but we weren't cheating then. Okay. Yeah, it just stopped. See how it sounds when it's not about the Astros? It feels better, right? Accusing someone else of cheating?
Yeah, I like this.
I know. Not about our team. It's not even about our country. It's about a different country.
Being the defense attorney.
Sucks.
Sucks so much.
Being
more
the prosecutor.
Oh.
Love it. I love it. We got one more segment to go here. If you're in favor of cheating, you belong on this show. You can call it about anything before we wrap it up, 713-780-3776. But before I do, maybe you think this is going to spur the Canadians on to a medal. You can bet on that at MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag. You back cheating? I mean, MyBookie's not going to help you cheat, but maybe you like cheaters, and Canada certainly is that. That means bet on them, because you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime, whether it be the Olympics, whether it be Major League Baseball. Maybe you think Jake Bloss is going to put on a great performance today and upset a certain Paul Skeens. The Astros are the underdog. Take a shot. MyBookie is the place for you. So if it's more than sports betting that you're interested in, you can also do your live casino, whether you're big in the cards or you just want to try it out. So bet on sports. They have experts for that if you're not sure what to do. They have live dealers with their live casino, so it's not just a card popping up on your screen. You see the cards being dealt. It gives you the benefit of a casino, or at least all the things you enjoy about a casino, without actually making the trip. MyBookie.ag is the website. The Olympics, golf, soccer, UFC, they're all there for you. Remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I mentioned during the MyBookie spot that it is Astros, not Brewers, we were talking about the Brewers in the break, Astros Pirates tonight. Paul Skeens versus Jake Bloss, and we see a sign of disrespect, Sean. Both these guys drafted in 2023, both rose up the ranks of the minor leagues to start for their teams, and yet one guy has his profile photo on the ESPN site. The other doesn't. More disrespect for the Astros.
Not right.
Jake Bloss, he can't get his picture up there. They're drafted in the same year.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the two?
What they're doing right now is to be drafted in 2023.
It's amazing.
To be starting on good teams in 2024 of equal magnitude.
That's right. There's no difference between the two.
There is no
at difference. All. There's a couple.
Does Jake Bloss need to date some famous gymnast?
I don't know if it's need for Paul Skeens. I think he likes dating the famous gymnasts. I don't know if he needs to.
No, it's an industry plant relationship.
For who? Baseball?
Yeah.
Baseball decided, hey.
Yeah. How much bigger?
But why would you pick
how much bigger of a star do you think Paul Skeens is?
Well, would you pick a pirate?
It started in LSU.
I know the connection.
It goes deep.
I guess you would say the connection is, hey, we have plausible deniability because they went to the same school.
Yeah, it's easy.
Gotcha.
It's an easy.
People start to pick at the threads of this relationship, you all know they know each other from LSU. Understood. Yeah. I see what you're doing there.
So, and she's going back to school next year.
She's got one more year in her.
Yeah. So they're just not going to live together for another year. totally legit relationship.
Wow. The deeper, darker underbelly of the Skeens Dunn relationship being picked apart in the final segment of this show.
The Pirates have to be so upset that they're good now that I care enough to slander them. Because normally,
no one would pay attention.
Normally, Pirates on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series.
To be fair, they're not that good. It's just that they have Paul Skeens. They're 53 and 52. They're fine.
They're in the mix.
Yes. But
they're in the wild card mix.
Sure. But Paul Skeens is why you're digging deep into the fake.
To be honest,
I don't know who's starting tomorrow for the Pirates.
I only know Jaron Jones.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if he starts tomorrow.
That's the only other Pirate I know. And O'Neill Cruz, but he's the shortstop.
So he can't start tomorrow.
Oh,
at least
Hayes.
As a pitcher.
They have Hayes.
Oh, so you know more than you thought.
Yeah.
Do you know? But we don't know. Well, we do know.
They have Bonds, right?
They haven't announced, at least according to ESPN, they haven't said who their starter will be. Mm-hmm. We know Hunter Brown will be going for the Astros tomorrow.
Do they still have Jason Bay?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Andy Van Slyke?
Whatever happened to that Bonds fellow, by the way?
I believe he became a Giant, got a giant head, and is now the all-time home run leader that no one cares about. Mm. If that's my synopsis of what happened to that Bonds fellow.
Willie Stargell?
hadn't been a pirate for a while.
Oh, okay. Not in my lifetime, I bet.
Yeah, not a chance. Not a chance. I believe, I think John said Yordan was a young Willie Stargell back when Yordan was a young player. Yordan's not old, but he's established right now. Pirates, Astros tonight. We're hoping for the best for Jake Bloss. Maybe if he wins, he gets his profile photo updated on ESPN.com.
Put respect on my boy Jake's name.
I feel like you're going to have that. He's going to have to do a little more. Start with the Paul Skenes win.
You know what? Just go throw a no-hitter then.
That would help. I think if he throws a no-hitter, his photo should be up on the website at a minimum. I mean, it will be the front page news of ESPN.com. You might as well put it up, his actual profile photo, as he would have defeated maybe the best pitcher in baseball and the lineup that was supposed to support him. We're done. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Hopefully, when we come back tomorrow, we've got an Astros win, and Jake Bloss is a star. You beat Paul Skenes on a night, you become a star for a day. We'll see if it happens. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We did it!
Voted Raider rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.